Welcome to the One Wyoming Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Thorburn. You can follow me on X at @by_RyanThorburn. Make sure you bookmark the Pokes Insider page to get all my coverage of the Cowboys and Cowgirls. We have a very special guest this week. I'm pleased to bring on Ryan Yarborough, soon to be National Football Foundation College Football Hall of Famer. Ryan, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hey, with the namesake of Ryan, you know that I was going to be on here for you, man. Thank you for having me.
Well, Ryan, I have your old pal, Kevin McKinney, on as well, and we want to just, first of all, congratulate you. And do you realize how big a deal this is? I mean, Jay Novacek and Eddie Boom Boom Talboom are the only other Wyoming football players in this thing. Has it sunk in yet over the last week?
No, it hasn't. It initially hit me, and when I sit down and actually have time to think about it, it hits me sometimes. But by me being a Wyoming history buff, athletic history buff, I knew that Jay was in there, and I didn't know that Boom Boom Tow Boom was in there. But I know that I was one of the few in the history of the Cowboys, so that's always a blessing.
You know, Yarbs, we're so proud of you and what you accomplished and how you've represented the University of Wyoming. The thing, I mentioned this to you the other day, the thing that I just totally love about you is you've never forgotten about the university. You come back, make it a point to come back a couple times a year and see everybody and former teammates and some of us around here. Wyoming means a lot to you, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Kevin, when I left, where I left from, Chicagoland, Chicago area, coming out to Wyoming, I was an 18-year-old young man. And I had to go through a lot of things to get to where I needed to go. But Wyoming definitely embraced me and loved me, and that's why I always come back. And the reason why I come back is, to first and foremost, you know, you're my guy, Kev, but I like to go see Diane first, Diane Dotson.
She's your gal.
But I like to come back, and I like to see the workers, you know, the people that work there, the people in the janitorial system, the people that are working the gates, the people that are just helping making the function of the football games and the athletic department go, you know, keep going, because those are the people who always have been there and always will be there for you. So that's one of the main reasons that I come back all the time, is to see the people that were there when I was there, and also to help along the newer guys that are coming along. Like right now, Coach Bo Knight is on the staff. Anytime I see guys from the Chicagoland area or places that I've been, I try to come back and speak to them, because Wyoming is a unique place. You know, it's the only 4-year university, unless that's changed since I've been there. But it's the only 4-year university. Yeah, this in the state. So it's like, you know, it's like a pro, you know, Wyoming, the Cowboys are like the pro team of the state. So anytime I have guys that I have some type of association or affiliation with, I try to come and help them so they can get to the next level, you know, to where they're trying to go.
Ryan, take me back to Chicagoland when you're 17, 18 years old. Obviously, Paul Roach is the coach at Wyoming. He had just come off a ferocious WAC championships in the late 80s with some great teams. How did you end up at Wyoming? How did you get recruited out here?
Well, once again, as you said, I have a couple of Chicago ties and a couple of ties with Wyoming. First of all, you mentioned Coach Roach. Coach Roach coached my uncle at the University of Wyoming. He was a defensive back or defensive coordinator for the University of Wisconsin Badgers back in the late 60s. So we had a connection there. Also, Coach Corpus, or both of them, rest in peace, they're both my guys, to say the least. But Coach Larry Corpus was the same year as my uncle. They were both all-city, all-state quarterbacks out of Chicago. Coach Corpus was in the Catholic League. So he knew the Yarbrough name from growing up. And he, Coach Corpus recruited me. Then he left me, and then he came back. Yeah, then he came back. And that's another thing that I had to understand about Wyoming at an early part of my career was a lot of coaches were coming and going, and that I couldn't get, you know, emotionally attached to one particular coach because I had to understand after my freshman year that they were coming and they had families. And they had to, you know, they had to make moves. You know, they had to better their situation if that was the case. So those were my connections. Coach Roach knew my uncle. Coach Corpus knew my uncle and my dad. So those were my Chicago connections besides the players. Sean Wiggins. Sean Wiggins is, you know, my big brother, and hopefully we'll see him getting into the Wyoming Hall of Fame sooner than later. And it was just a connection, man, Chicago, Wyoming connection. And when I was coming out, it was the middle, you know, the middle of the crack era back in the Chicagoland. Well, but not just Chicagoland, but across the nation. So I was trying to get as far away from home as possible. Oh, one last thing. I'm the oldest of seven. So yeah. my whole house was filled up, too. So I was just trying to get as far away as possible and obviously go somewhere where I can showcase my skills, and everything worked out from there. So it's a blessing 30 odd years after my playing career at the University of Wyoming that, you know, that I'm in there. And it's a great feeling, Ryan. Please don't let me subdue my feelings, but it's a great, great feeling.
Ryan, yes. How much did that Wyoming offense, and it was very wide open at that time, and lots of yards. Did that attract you a little bit as well?
Oh, absolutely. That's one. I have to say that that'd be 1A, because I definitely, people always try to laugh at me to know that I'm from Chicago, know that I lived in New York. They'll be like, "You living in the coldest place?" I'm like, nothing compares to Wyoming. Okay. Hands down, that's the coldest place that I've been. And it was okay. But what I'm trying to say is I did not come to Wyoming for the weather. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
All right. I came so I can showcase my abilities with the wide open offense that the coach Roach had, Coach Tiller, Coach Corpus. But what a lot of people don't realize is we had a 1,000-yard rusher as well my last 2 years. So we had a balanced attack. People just think we were run and shoot, but the offense, you know, I mean, the passing game and the running game complemented each other very well.
Ryan, your freshman year, you mentioned your guy, Sean Wiggins. He was one of the captains in 1990. Mitch Donahue, you guys start out 9-0. End up 9-4, unfortunately. But how much did you just jump right into that team that had some veterans on it?
Well, one name that you brought up that I never leave out of my interviews when it's brought up is Mitch Donahue. Although we didn't play the same position, I seen the light to shine on Mitch Donahue, and it wasn't just because of his playing ability. It was because of how he interacted with the guys and his work ethic as well. He didn't treat anybody, you know, like he was getting his light being shined on him. He didn't put that against anybody else, okay? He raised everyone up, and I don't like to use that word, but he helped everybody that was younger than him and that was below him. Okay, Mitch Donahue. So I always would give him respect before I say anything else. But when it comes to the offense that we had and the guys, the older guys that I play with, I'm used to playing out. Like I said, I'm the oldest in the house, but I was always the youngest guy on the block. So I could very easily be 9 to 10 years old playing with guys in junior high school or high school, and if something happened to me, if I got banged up or something like that, my dad would very easily say, "Hey, don't play with them if you can't hang." So I had to learn at an early age. Yeah, I had to learn it because I didn't have any big brother. I couldn't come home crying. No, I don't have nothing to do with that. You know what I mean? If you can't handle the heat, you know, don't go out there and play in their kitchen. You know, so I had to learn that at an early age. So by the time that I arrived at Wyoming, I was pretty good at being able to understand the older guys' language as well, because some of the guys already had kids. Some of the guys are already married, you know. So when it came to just joining right in with those guys, it wasn't that big of a deal for me, but it was even easier because of the class that I came in with. My class, we had a very productive class for all the years that we were there, from our freshman year all the way to our senior year. So even my freshman class, out of, we say, 22 guys on the field, my freshman class, it had to be at least 14 or 15 of us playing at one particular time, our freshman year. So it was good energy. And like I say, man, you're going to continue to hear me say I'm very blessed and I'm very thankful for that opportunity.
You know, Ryan, we won't get into the NIL and all that stuff, but back then, when you were a freshman, you played 4 years, and you were at the same place all 4 years. It had to be quite an advantage for you in terms of developing and, you know, getting into the offense that was so productive.
Oh, absolutely. Because another time, I have stories for days. You know that, kid.
Yeah, I do know that. Yeah.
But that built character, because once again, we couldn't leave, you know, and transfer schools. Back then, you have to sit out a year. Okay. And if you even tried to go to the same conference, you probably have to sit out 2 years. Don't quote me on that, but I know that we had to sit out for at least a year if we transferred schools. And please believe me, I thought about it, you know, but once I had to talk with my dad, and he was like, "What you gonna do if you come home?" Because once again, like I said, you're the oldest. Got all these other little mouths to feed. If you come home, you're going to be working. I'm going to just suck it up. You know, I'm going to suck it up one more year and see how everything goes. And then from there, you know, everything took off. But being in the same system, even though Coach Tiller came my sophomore year, but what the offense that we were running under Coach Roach was the same offense that, you know, that Coach Tiller overtook, and he added a little mix to it. But it was very beneficial, because by the time I was a junior, going into my senior year, I didn't have to do spring ball. So it helped me help along the younger guys as far as coaching, you know, because by the time towards the end of my junior year, I was basically like a player coach out there. And it was all because of me being in the same system for multiple years.
Ryan, 91 and 92, Joe Tiller's first 2 years, kind of rebuilding years a little bit, 4 wins, and then I think 5 wins. Fortunately, you did beat CSU both of those years.
Good job.
What were those middle years like for you? And it seems like you and Joe Tiller were a perfect match in terms of the production. What were those kind of middle years like with him starting out his head coaching career?
Yeah. Once again, shout out to Coach Tiller. May he rest in peace. I had a chance to see the wife and the youngest daughter last year. So I'm close with the family. But initially, it wasn't that way, okay? My sophomore year, when Coach Tiller came in, he came in, you know, putting down the hammer, because just the change of the regime, turnover, you know, he wanted to have his personality on the program. So we had, you know, we bumped heads a few times initially, and that was more so for off the field reasons. But on the field, Coach Tiller and Coach Corpus came back. So let me put that in there too. Coach Corpus came back, and Coach Tiller pretty much put the offense in his hands. Okay, and I'm so grateful for the both of them, because by the time my senior year come, just passing over a few years, but by the time my senior year came, Coach Tiller and I had a mutual understanding to where, okay, you know, I'm going to do what I need to do. And I found out that he was very supportive in a lot of areas that I didn't think that he was initially. All right. And Coach Sumlin came in with that as well, Kevin Sumlin. And he helped me understand Coach Tiller a little different, to say the least. And I'm very grateful for Coach Tiller as well, because he held us accountable. Because like I said, my class, my freshman class that came in, he held us accountable by the time we were seniors, and he gave us open rein to a lot of things, all because of our discipline off the field and how we produced on the field.
You know, Ryan, so many things about you impress me through those years. One of it, every team that the Cowboys played tried to take you out of the offense and tried to stop Ryan Yarbrough. Couldn't do it, of course, but what was it? Give me a couple of guys or teams that really tried to do that and were hard on you, and you had to overcome some things to still be very successful against them. But were there a couple teams that had a pretty good idea of how to make it harder on you?
Well, yes. Yes, I'm glad. That's an excellent question, Kev, because I was going to send one person. I'm going to say his name first because we keep in contact off the field as well. Is Derwin Gray for BYU. I'm looking at my middle finger right now. Okay, and this finger, and it's not to flip him off, okay? But it's this finger is so messed up, this knuckle right now. And unfortunately, my mom had came to that game. And she was like, man, I know you do a lot of interviews after the games and everything like that, but you were taking a little too long this time. And I came out with a brace, you know, a splint on my middle finger, because I had got knocked by Derwin Gray over on the sideline, and my knuckle was sticking out of my glove. You know, it was protruding out of my glove. And I was like, man, what's going on? I looked. So I had to get it put back into place, but I'm not going to give him too much airtime. So Derwin Gray was one of them. I had an all whack secondary team in my head, man.
Sure.
So I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you right now. Derwin Gray as safety, Sharif Shaw from Utah as safety, and Derwin Gray went to BYU. So I'll give him that. James Burton at Fresno State, and I can't remember his first name, but McDonald at Air Force. Those were the guys who stand out to me and who have stood out to me over the years. Besides, I didn't say anyone from San Diego State, but I very easily could say number 9. I think his last name was Johnson. He laid a few into me a couple of times. He laid some into me a couple of times. Yeah.
But, you got him, though.
I used to look. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Come on now. Yeah, come on now. I give people they do, you know what I'm saying, when they give me. But those four guys and San Diego State, I used to always get hyped up for San Diego State because they played man to man. So I knew it was gonna be a good battle, you know, all the time. On top of playing against Marshall Faulk, it was like, okay, well, I gotta get with it. You know, I gotta come with it because these guys gonna be on me a whole game, you know. So those are the guys right there, man. Those four guys.
Good players.
Ryan, speaking of a couple of those teams, 93, obviously you guys tied for the WAC championship. I remember that Fresno State home game. They had Trent Dilfer, a really good team. You guys beat them. Mm-hmm. And you closed mm-hmm. it out with a win at San Diego State. What's your favorite moment from 93 and getting a piece of the WAC championship?
that 93 was, it was a special year because they, the media had us come in like at the bottom of the conference, preseason, put it that way. And it's too many, man. It's too many memories. But I'll just go with the last one, the San Diego State game, because once again, like I said, our guys, my defense, okay, Thomas Williams, Jim Talich, you know, those guys, Kenny Johnson, you know, and Steve Hendricks was the one that broke up Darnay at the end, even though he was a junior, he's not in my class. But those, that game right there, because it came down to the end, all the way fourth quarter, we came out early. I had three touchdowns in the first half. The one guy, I don't know his name, but it was a safety. I was about to have my eyes set on the fourth touchdown, and he caught it and took it back for a pick six. So that made the game even more exciting because it had to go down to the wire right now. And our guys used to put it on Marshall Faulk. You know, I can't remember any team that used to put it on Marshall Faulk like our guys did until our senior year when we were down there at San Diego State. Because he was going crazy for a little bit. And just to go down to that fourth down, man, and it was two plays in a row, goal line, and Steve Hendricks stopped. And just being on somebody else's field, celebrating the championship. I had a lot of people that came into town for that game that were from California that already there. So I have to say that, man, I still had a picture of us when we were all on the field, all the seniors after the game. And that'll forever be a memory right there.
I have two quick ones. Number one, how did you come by number 16, which you made famous? And talk about your quarterbacks, those two things.
My man. So I always give Mad Dog his props, too. I always give Mad Dog his props. Because for some particular reason, Mad Dog swears up and down that I asked for number 16. Number 16 had no relevance to me, none whatsoever. I'm a single digit guy.
Okay.
I have my high school number is number one, and that's retired. So I'm like, I'm a single dude. So like, okay, I didn't know who had number one at that particular time when I came in as a freshman. But it was some other guys that had double digit numbers. I was like, okay, I'm on a new level, so I'm not going to be stuck on just this number. You know, I'm going to make another number, something like I did, you know, even better than I did the number one back in high school. But that number was given to me, man. I didn't ask for that number. there were no other single-digit numbers that I can get at the particular time, so I just, once again, I used the concept in my mind and say, hey, you're on another level now. You're not number one, that number one anymore. You have to make another number famous. So that's how that all came about. And then as far as my quarterback, all right, my two main quarterbacks were Tom Carranzas, my freshman and sophomore year, and then Joe Hughes, my junior and senior year. But in between those times, I got a little known history fact, even for Kevin McKinney. I caught a touchdown from five different quarterbacks, besides the two that I mentioned initially. I caught one from Peter Rowe. I caught one from John Gustin, and I also caught one from Scott Jones. Okay, so when it comes to that, it was special. We'll take it to Joe.
Yeah.
All right, because Tom, like I said, when Tom got denied, you know, it was a couple of quarterbacks fighting for that position at that particular time. But by the time Joe got here, got to Wyoming, I had a little status already, and we would sit down and we would watch film and we would talk. But the first couple of games, or when he first got here, he used to underthrow me a lot. And I used to come back to him like, Joe, just throw it out there, man, because I'm not running 100% when I'm coming off the ball all the time. I have to set up this defense, but I know what they're trying to do to me, so I got to set them up. So we have to be on the same page more than anything. So I'm like, just throw it out there. If anything, it'll be overthrown, whatever. We can deal with that later. But if you continue to underthrow the ball, we're going to continue to have these conversations in the huddle. I'm tired of having these conversations in the huddle, man. I'd rather you overthrow me than underthrow me, okay?
There you go, yeah.
But, Joe caught on real quick. Joe's a real tough guy, man. He came in, and by mid-season, Joe was clicking. And then, to say the least, by our senior year, it was no stopping us when it came to that. But I got love for all my quarterbacks, man. Always have and always will.
Ryan, along this theme, I want to ask you about one of your teammates, the guy you handed the baton to, All-American wide receiver Marcus Harris. What was that like to play with him for 1 year and then see him win the Biletnikoff and just break some of your records, I guess?
Marcus was my little brother then and forever will be my little brother. He called me when I got the induction. So I give him praise for that because we always, ever since the beginning, and I'll tell you straight up and down right now because I can talk about certain things differently than I did back then. I always told Marcus, I said, look here, man, if you ever need to call me when I was in the pros, call me. If you ever need anything, call me. You know I'm going to answer the phone because that's how our relationship was before I left Wyoming. We already established that relationship. And then to see him take off and ascend to Biletnikoff and be the top receiver in the nation was nothing. I was nothing but ecstatic to see, you know, to see my guy doing his thing because I already knew that he had skills before I had left. But to take off and do the things that he did, I did not think that initially. But once he got going and, you know, and he got going and kept going and kept going and kept going, I was like, man, this is a beautiful thing. Now, when it comes to records always meant to be broke. The only record that I take personal, Marcus don't have, and he couldn't get. So I don't care. I cared about getting into the end zone.
Touchdowns.
I cared about, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I cared about making plays. And what I mean by that is first downs or big plays for the team. My first touchdown ever was 80-yard touchdown in the San Diego State game in my freshman year. That type of stuff is what got me going. All right. To be able to help the team get to where we need to get. And that was, you know, as many W's as possible. But to get back to your question about Marcus, nothing but love. That's my main man.
Ryan, you mentioned your family and a great big brother. Are most of your siblings in the area of Chicago or are they all over the place?
Man, all the y'all bros, when you come back to Chicago, you better specify which y'all bro, because there are lots of y'all bros, lots of y'all bros. But over the years, everybody's moved around a little bit, but I had to say, 85% of my family is still back in Chicago. Yes, indeed.
Ryan, you mentioned Javon Bonite earlier in the podcast. You know, I would put you and Marcus and Javon on the Mount Rushmore of Wyoming wide receivers. There's a lot of guys that you could debate for number four, I think. But Javon, back at Wyoming now, wide receivers coach. You know, when I talked to Marcus the other day about you for the story we wrote on you, you know, he was complaining about Wyoming's passing offense the last 10 years or so. Yeah. Do you think Bonite, I mean, Kevin and I love Chris Deer Jr. from Chicago, by the way. It would be great if you could meet that kid and prop him up. How confident are you that, you know, with Caden Anderson and Bonite developing receivers, maybe Wyoming can get that tradition back on track going forward?
Yeah, when it comes to that, I concur with what Marcus says. I don't talk about a lot of stuff publicly because it's not my business, because I'm not there making things happen on a daily basis. But if anybody can do it, I know my young bro, Jovan Bonnight, can get it done. And what I mean by that is just his culture and just his nature. He doesn't have a hammer. He is not like he's making the play calls and he's running the offense or anything like that. But with his mindset and with his belief and what he has done for the University of Wyoming, that can very easily be replicated with some of the young guys coming up, like young Dirk, you know, this from Chicago. I know his dad, and his dad, one of his dad's best friends. So that's personal right there. That's why I went directly on the field to go speak to him when I was there at this past Hall of Fame induction. But yeah, Bonnight, no doubt he can get it done. But like again, once I said, I know the infrastructure of offense. I know the infrastructure of business. And right now, Jovan is a focal point, but he can definitely get it done, and he will get it done if that's what he chooses to do. Put it that way. If that's what he chooses to do, I can't speak for the man, but I know that he can get it done. He can get it across.
You know, Ryan, it's always struck me that Wyoming through the years has been kind of a tough run the ball type of offense. Yet those guys you mentioned and you have made it a receiver you, and has made it something that I think people underestimate how good Wyoming's been with the pass game. And these receivers that we're talking about, and Sean is another one. You know, he was an outstanding gifted guy. But Wyoming has really produced some unbelievably great receivers. How do you explain that?
Yeah. Well, man, it's that good thing, Wyoming. Yeah, Kev. Don't tell nobody. we look over on the other sideline and see people on that oxygen mask in pregame.
You know you got
them. It's time to go. Now, to answer that question, I just think it's, once again, when you get one thing going, it's easy to duplicate it. And what I mean by that is, once you see one person or one offense doing something, it's easy to build on and continue to go and go and go. Now, when it's not a focus point, then it's not going to happen. You know, if your focus point is running the ball 30, 40 times, like my man Brian Hill, I always give him love too, because he's from the Chicago area as well. I always give him love when it comes to that. But it's like, if you got a horse, they can run that, you know, can run that ball and do the thing, then fine. But from my experiences, I know you have to have a balanced attack, either way it goes. You know, if you run game oriented or pass game oriented, you have to be able to pass a little bit if you run game oriented. And if you pass game oriented, you know, you have to do vice versa. You have to be able to run it a little bit or they're not going to respect it. So as far as how it goes or how it has come at Wyoming, I know that I've seen Sean Wiggins, all right? Then Marcus seen me. And then who after that, you know, then Jovan, you know, seen Marcus and everywhere in between, you know. But one person who I never can go and have an interview without speaking about is my man Mike Jones, because yeah. Mike Jones was a receiver when he came in with me. Mike Jones led our team in catches my senior year. That's a little known history fact as well. So it can be done, because I seen Mike Jones come from freshman wearing a size 15 shoe and stumbling all over the place to the coaches coming, to Coach Taylor come in and talk to him. Hey, man, you might be more suitable at this position. And he took it and embraced it and became a first-team all-whack tight end. So it can be done. Anything can be done, Kev. That's speaking of why we're on this phone right now, and the percentages like when I talk to you about Kevin, anything can be done. Mm-hmm. But the percentage of me being and making it into this College Football Hall of Fame right now, the numbers on that,
yeah, you
know, are ridiculous. Yeah. Let alone somebody being able to turn an offense from pass to run or run to pass. That's mm-hmm. that can easily be done. It just has to be a mindset.
Well, Ryan, we could do this all day. I think
yeah, it's such a treat.
Oh, yeah.
The Roach Tiller days are my favorite, especially from an offensive standpoint. yes. December 9th is the Hall of Fame Awards Dinner in Las Vegas. Nick Saban will be there, Urban Meyer, Michael Vick, Michael Strahan.
Yeah.
But I think every Wyoming fan will be pumped for you because you deserve it. So thanks so much for joining the podcast. We appreciate it.
Congrats, too,
thank
man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you so love very you. Much. I appreciate y'all. I love you, too, man. You go Wyo for life.
All right.
And as always, y'all bro country. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Kevin McKinney.
You bet.
Y'all bro country.
Great talking to you, Yarbrough. You're the best.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
Thank you.